Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Vayelech. Please accept my apologies for the delay on the podcast this week. This week, Neiman Novetzky discusses Vayelech. Neiman Novetzky is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Neiman Novetzky.
Thank you, Larry. Throughout Sefer Dvarim, we've been reading of Moshe's final speeches to the nation. Some of them were more philosophical in nature, some more halachical or legal. When we get to this week's parsha, Parshat Vayelech, we actually hear some of Moshe's final words to the people. And it's fascinating to think, what is it that he says to them? He's almost reaching the day of his death. What final messages does he want to give over to Am Yisrael? In the Psukim, we're told that what he tells the people isn't so much rebuke or encouragement as much as it is who it is who's going to take over after he leaves. He tells the people, Hayom lo uchal od latzit v'lavo, v'Hashem amrei v'lo tavor t'yardin hazeh. He says, Hashem told me that I'm no longer going to come and go before you. I'm not going to cross over the Jordan. Hashem melokecha hu over lefanach. And he tells them, who's going to be my replacement? Two things. First of all, Hashem, God, is the one who's going to cross over with you, not me. But don't worry, you're in good hands, it's God. But he doesn't leave it at that, because the people practically need a physical leader with a body, not just God. And so he points out, you have nothing to worry, because who's going to go with you in addition? Yehoshua hu over lefanacha kasher diber Hashem. Yehoshua is going to take over for me. Now, I think it's actually a wonderful sign of leadership on Moshe's part that one of the last things he tells the nation is, don't worry, I'm not leaving you leadership. You're going to have a leader when I go. I'm placing you in good hands. God's still going to be with you, and Yehoshua is going to take over afterwards. And he tells the people, Chizku v'imtzu, and here comes the encouragement, be strong, be brave, al tiru, don't be afraid. Interestingly, he then turns to Yehoshua and says the exact same things. V'yomer elav v'nei kol Yisrael, he turns to Yehoshua in front of all of Israel, and he says to him, Chazak v'yematz, you too be strong, be brave. That's what the Psukim themselves tell us that Moshe told Bnei Israel on the day of his death or on the eve of his death. Interestingly, though, the commentators and the Midrash pick up on some other things, not explicit in the text, that Moshe might have told the people as well. And they question not only what is it that Moshe actually said, but what was it that Moshe was feeling at this time? And so we're going to look at a selection of commentators and one beautiful midrash that tries to explore these questions. What message might a Moshe Rabbeinu have had to give over to the people right before he died? What might have been his emotional state of being? What was he thinking? What was he feeling right before he died? The commentators find room to add in more than the text says from the very opening verse of our parsha. The verse opens and says, Vayelech Moshe vayidaber et hadvarim ha'ile al kol Yisrael. Moshe went and said these things to the people. The very next verse opens again, Vayomer aleihem, and he said to them. The commentators pick up on two things. One, there's this double Vayomer. It says he said all these things, and then it says again in the next verse, and he said. This leaves the commentators room to suggest that in between those two sayings, with thoughts and comments of Moshe that aren't written in the text. That's where they have room to say, oh, this isn't the only message, not just the transfer of leadership, which is what Tanakh picks up on, but Moshe must have had something else that he said as well. Secondly, they pick up on the word Vayelech. It says he went, but it doesn't tell us to where he went. And again, the commentators wonder, well, what's the significance of that phrase? So we're going to look at just a couple of commentators who answer these questions. First, Ibn Ezra. It says, Vayelech, halach al kol shevet b'shevet lehodia shehu mit. He went to each tribe to tell them that he's going to die. Shelo yifchadu. So that they wouldn't be afraid. So interestingly, even Ezra says, well, what is it that he went to tell the people? Where did he go? So he says, Moshe actually went to each individual tribe. This isn't something that Moshe said out loud to the congregation of all 12 tribes together, but Moshe felt a need to go individually to every single tribe to let them know, I'm about to die. Okay? Even as just picking up on another, perhaps, greatness of Moshe, the recognition that everyone needs to be seen and felt as an individual and not just one big mass. You can't say goodbye to the mass. It's not the same thing. If I say goodbye to my classroom and I say goodbye to all 20 students, that's very different than if I go to every single individual student and say goodbye to them. And so Ibn Ezra says, no, the word Vayelech tells us Moshe went individually to each tribe. He didn't just amass them as one big group, but he went to each one and told them, I'm going goodbye. Kliyakar goes in a slightly different direction. He says that one can learn two things from the word Vayelech. First, he tells us, L'fi she'ratza Moshe lomar lo uchal od tzit v'lavo. He says, the verse tells us that Moshe had told the people, I am no longer going to be able to come and go. Umilat lo uchal yish lo shnei panim. It says in the word, I won't be able to, actually has two possible connotations. O lo uchal mamash mi bilti yacholet. Maybe one can understand it as, I can't because I physically cannot. I just don't have the ability to. O lo uchal eini rashai. I am not permitted to go. I may not go, not I cannot go. Ubemet shekan perusho eini rashai. And what Moshe wanted to make sure the people understood was that here, it's not that he can't go because he's not longer physically able to go, but rather because he's not permitted to go. And he wanted to ensure that the people knew that, and how did he prove it to them? By going in front of them, showing them, no, I'm still strong. If it was up to me, I'd still be able to bring you in. I'd still try. I'm physically fit enough to do it. The only reason I can't is because God said no. Okay, so this is a very different type of message. In some ways, we feel that Kliyakar is picking up on perhaps a lack of confidence of Moshe in the way he's going to appear to Bnei Israel. He wants to make sure that they know that he's still strong. He's still physically fit. That's one way of reading the Kliyakar. The other possibility is that he's not so much picking up on a lack of self-confidence in Moshe. Moshe didn't really need to prove to everyone that he's strong. But what he did want to do is to drive home the message that I too am being punished. I may not go in, not I cannot go in. Kliyakar, though, raises a totally second, different possibility as to what it is that Moshe went to tell Bnei Israel. He says, Hasheinuhu, the second possibility is, Sheratza Moshe lizerzam al hatshuva. Moshe wanted to go and hasten them into doing repentance. Asher ikara bidvarim, whose main essence is in dvarim, because it says in the verse, Vaydaber hadzvarim. In Tanakh, there are different ways of saying to say. One can say lomar with the root aleph mem resh. One can say ledaber with the root dalet bet resh. And what Kliyakar is picking up on here is that when one uses the word dvarim, it's often words of rebuke. And that what Moshe did on his last day with Bnei Israel is to go from one tent to another and to tell them, you have to go and do tshuva. He says, Akein amar v'ilich Moshe shuhalach me'ol la'ol. He went from one tent to another tent. El kol achad mi'Israel, to each individual in Israel. V'haya medaber libo at hadvarim ha'ila. And he would say these things, in yanei tshuva. Words of repentance. So according to this second possibility of the Kliyakar, what was Moshe thinking about on his dying day? Still, how to bring out the best in Am Yisrael. Taking that one last opportunity to push them, repent, do better, do good, change. I want to die knowing that I did all that I could to make you the best people that you could be. So those are some of the possibilities that the Mefarshim raise as to what it is that Moshe might have been saying to Bnei Israel. And again, none of them are in the verses themselves. To some extent, what we see here are what the commentators perhaps might have said had they been Moshe. I want to now turn not just to what Moshe might have been saying to Bnei Israel, but what he might have been thinking to himself, or perhaps saying to God. There's this great midrash in Devarim Rabbah, which recounts Moshe's conversation to Hashem before he dies. And to some extent, it repeats time and again how Moshe is not willing to die. Moshe keeps on pleading with God, please don't let me die. Why do I have to die? I don't understand. And it starts with Moshe talking to Hashem and pointing out, why is it that I have to die? And Hashem answering him, well, everyone has to die. Adam HaRishon died. And Moshe answers, oh, but Adam HaRishon had a good reason for dying because he went against your commandment. But me, maybe I won't have to die. Then Hashem tells him, well, Avraham died and he was someone who was Mekadesh me. He sanctified my name. Moshe answers, oh, but Avraham had bad seed. Yishmael came from him. That was reason enough that perhaps that made Avraham himself deserve death. And he goes from one person to another, until finally Hashem says to Moshe, Rav Lecha, enough. Al Toseth, don't continue talking to me. Okay? This is picking up on the Parsha Ve'etchanan in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, where we see explicitly there Moshe davening to Hashem that maybe he could come into the land. And Devarim Rabba here is basically giving an answer to Moshe. At some point, it doesn't matter anymore. Enough. Sometimes the reason that you have to die, you don't understand why you have to die. I decreed it, and that's enough. Interestingly, a very similar version of this part of the Midrash appears in other contexts in the Midrash, in Notar HaMidrashim, where Moshe and Hashem have the same exact conversation, Moshe pointing out how, why does he have to die? Hashem saying, well, Avram died, well, Yitzchak died, well, Yaakov died. And each time Moshe pointing out, oh, but there was some deficit in them, that's why they had to die. But it ends in a very different way, whereas our Midrash ended with Hashem telling Moshe, Rav Lecha, enough. I don't want to hear it. It doesn't matter. What I said is law. That's it. This one's end with Hashem saying, you keep on telling me they all had deficits. Well, I'm going to point out a deficit in you. Kluma marti lecha shetaharog et ha-mitzri? Did I ever tell you to kill the Egyptian? Hashem here is referring back to the famous story back in the very beginning of Sefer Shemot, when Moshe sees an Egyptian smiting an Israelite slave, and Moshe goes and kills the Egyptian. From Sefer Shemot itself, one probably would have a connotation that this is a very positive act of Moshe. He's acting up against injustice, etc. But this Midrash actually sees Moshe as having committed murder. And Hashem tells him, did I tell you to kill the Mitzri? Moshe answers, V'ata harakta kol b'chori Mitzrayim, v'ani amut b'shvil Mitzri achad. Moshe says, I don't understand. You killed all of the firstborns of Egypt, and now you're going to tell me that I have to die for killing one Egyptian? Amar lei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'ata dome lei mimit u'mechayat, what, you think that you're similar to me? I could bring death, but I can also bring life. Can you bring life like me? So very interesting, different twist at the end. If in the first Midrashic version of this discussion between Moshe and Hashem, the answer for why Moshe deserves death is because everyone dies, and in the end, you just can't ask about it. It's just a decree. This Midrash says, actually, Moshe deserves death because Moshe too did something wrong. He killed. And if you're going to hold it up that says that Hashem kills too, well, Hashem's a little different because he knows how to bring back to life. The Midrash doesn't end there, though. The Midrash has Moshe continuing to ask Hashem, continuing to fight and saying, well, please at least let me go into Israel for 2 or 3 years. Oh, please at least let me live a little bit longer. And at one point in the conversation, we read, Hiniach Moshe yadav arosho v'hayat tzo'ek u'bocha. Moshe put his hands up on his face, and he started to scream and to cry. He's saying, where can I go and find mercy? Because obviously Hashem's not listening to me. Again, we see Hashem gets angry at him. Right? Enough already. But then Hashem adds to Moshe, and he says, Shtei shavuot nishbati. He tells Moshe, I made 2 oaths. Achad shetamut, Israel. One was that you were going to die. The other was that I was going to destroy all of Israel. Hashem says, I can't possibly nullify both of those oaths. But if you want, I can nullify one. So if it's better for you, and you prefer to live and Bnei Yisrael should be destroyed, that's fine. אמר לי, ריבונו של עולם, בעלילה אתה בא אליי. אתה תופיס החבל בשני ראשים. משה says to Hashem, you can't have it, that's not fair. יובד משה ואלף כיוצא בו, ואה יובד אחד מישראל. He says, obviously, better that I should die, and 1,000 like me, than that even one from Israel should die. So again, the Midrash is coming and trying to tell us, well, what's Moshe's state of mind? And what we see is a person who can't believe that he's going to die, who doesn't want to die, but at the same time, is still the leader of Am Yisrael, the shepherd of Am Yisrael. When Hashem raises the possibility that, well, yes, maybe there is a way out, maybe you can live, but that, of course, is going to mean the destruction of Am Yisrael, he says, uh-uh. Chas v'shalom, not even one from Am Yisrael should die. Of course, I'd prefer death. And to some extent, this is where the turning point in our Midrash comes, where Moshe sort of towards accepts his death and recognizes that to some extent, his death is needed for the survival of Am Yisrael. Perhaps, and this is not explicit in the Midrash at all, at some point, new leaders are needed. The old leaders can no longer fulfill the same functions for whatever reason, coming into Eretz Yisrael, it's a new generation, they need a different type of leader. And perhaps this is what convinced Moshe that it's time to go. For Bnei Yisrael's survival, you have to go, it's time for somebody else. Hashem then tells Moshe, it's no longer your turn, it's the turn of Yehoshua. So Moshe has another possibility. He says, I have a different request. Amar lei. Ribono Shalom, im ibnei Yehoshua tamidi ani mit, elech ve'elo tamid. He says, I understand, you need Yehoshua, but why can't I maybe live and I'll just be Yehoshua's student? Right? You need a new leader, it's time for Yehoshua, it's not fair to take it away from him. Give it to Yehoshua, but I'll learn from him. I'll be a second in command in that, the way that it's been until now. Amar lei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, im atar rosa lasot kach, lech asei. Hashem tells Moshe, you want to try it out? Be my guest. עמד וישכים והיה יהושע יושב ודורש, ועמד משה וכפף קומתו, וניח ידו על פיו, ונתעלמו עיניו של יהושע ולא ראה אותו. In the morning, Yehoshua goes to start and learn, and Moshe sort of sneaks into the tent, tries to hide himself in the corner, make sure that Yehoshua doesn't see him. Again, the humility of Moshe, recognizing that if Yehoshua sees Moshe, he's not going to be able to teach. And so Moshe hides himself. He recognizes the difficulty for a student to teach in the place of their teacher. And so he makes sure that Yehoshua doesn't see him, and Yehoshua doesn't, and he continues to start and learn. In the meantime, all the nation goes to Moshe's tent, thinking that Moshe is still going to be teaching them, and they don't find him. And people tell him, oh no, go to Yehoshua. So they go to Yehoshua. And Amri Yisrael Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu Lamdeinu Torah. When Yisrael goes and they see Moshe, they say to Moshe, no, you teach us Torah. Amar lehem eini rishut. He says, but I don't have permission. Amar lei, ein anu menichin otach. The people say, no, we don't accept it from you. So a voice from heaven comes out and says, no, no, no. It's time that you guys learn from Yehoshua. So everyone accepts it and they sit and they learn from Yehoshua. And so Yehoshua takes the first spot, the part, spot of significance at the table. Moshe to his right, Bnei Aaron to their left. He starts to learn and to teach. בשעה שאמר יהושע ברוך שבחר בצדיקים, נטלו מסורות החכמה ממשה ונתנו ליהושע. As soon as Yehoshua starts to teach, all the traditions of wisdom that had been in Moshe somehow get transferred to Yehoshua. ולא היה יודע משה מה היה יהושע דורש. And Moshe sits in the classroom and doesn't understand a word of what Yehoshua is teaching. אחר שעמדו ישראל מישיבה, אמרו לי, משה, סתום לנו את התורה. When everyone gets up from learning, they turn to Moshe and they say, oh, can you add in something? Can you teach us? Tell us what it was that we were learning. Amar lehem, eini yodea ma lashiv lachem. He says, I don't know what to answer you. Vaya Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom nechshal v'nofel. And Moshe falls and stumbles. And he's all upset. Va'oto sha'a amar Moshe, ribonu sho'olam. Ad achshav bikashti chayim. Achshav harei nafshi mesura biyadach. He says, until now I've been asking for life. Now take my soul. I'm giving it to you. So how do we understand this last part of the Midrash? So it's a fascinating piece. Moshe comes and says to Hashem, I understand, I can't be the leader anymore. Fine, I'll be Yehoshua's student. But he can't be Yehoshua's student. The Midrash is saying, I think, something that's very, very important and very, very true. It's very hard to step down from leadership and to be second in command, to learn from another, to accept that somebody else is in your place. And interestingly, the Midrash says, even Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to handle that. He wasn't able to handle someone else knowing more than him, being in that position where he knew and Moshe himself didn't understand. So I think that when we look at all these different Midrashim together, even though almost none of this is in the Torah or even hinted to in the Torah, what each of the different Mefarshim and the Midrashim are trying to do is to paint a very true portrait of a potential Moshe on his deathbed. From Tanakh itself, we get a Moshe who's worrying about the transfer of leadership. He says, I'm the shepherd. I can't leave them without a new shepherd. And hand it over to Moshe. And hand it over to Yehoshua. Interestingly, in Devarim Rabbah, in that Midrash that we were just reading, to some extent we get the exact opposite. Moshe recognizes that Yehoshua is meant to be the next leader and that the people need a new leader. But all of his willingness to give it over and his encouragement to Yehoshua, to some extent inside though, you recognize that that's so hard. Right? What's not explicit in Devarim is that this might not have been such a simple thing for Moshe. From reading just Sefer Devarim, of course Moshe's handing over the leadership. Great next step. When we read the Midrash, we realize, and you know how much that might have hurt a Moshe? How hard it might have been for Moshe to do that? And so we get this portrait of greatness, despite how hard it might have been for Moshe. That's the one thing that the Torah says explicitly that Moshe did. He handed over the reins to someone else in front of them while he's still alive, so that everyone knows you're in good hands. And of course, everything in the middle there was added extras. Moshe going to say goodbye individually to each individual tribe, not as a great mass, but to tell each of them, I'm going to die. I know it. I want to say goodbye to you. Moshe trying to point out to them, and I'm not abandoning you. It's not that I can't, that I wouldn't have. It's that I'm not allowed to. It's Moshe going to each tribe and saying, I know I'm about to die. Let me have one last chance at getting you to repent, getting you to change, getting you to be the best people that you could be. And of course, the realness of the Midrash, of Moshe struggling against death, worrying and saying, I can't believe that this is going to happen. Please don't let it happen. That even Moshe Rabbeinu is scared of death. So with all those thoughts about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu and what he was thinking about, perhaps on his last days or his last day, what he chose to tell Bnei Israel, I think we have many lessons to think about. So I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbat and a Shana Tova and a Gemar Tov.
Thank you, Neema. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.